Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. For Beth Sanderson, who's been reading fantasy for longer than I've been alive, and fully deserves to have a grandson as loony as she is. A servant of my rank is generally dismissed once my master's meal is finished. I hesitate to go and leave you, but that room will be filled with the self-important servants of the high nobility. There will be conversations there that Master Kelsier wishes me to overhear. You're leaving me by myself? You've done well so far, mistress, Sazed said. No major mistakes. Or at least none that wouldn't be expected of a lady new to court. Like what? Vin asked apprehensively. We shall discuss them later. Just remain at your table, sipping your wine. Try not to get it refilled too often. And wait for my return. If other young men approach, turn them away as delicately as you did the first. Vin nodded hesitantly. I shall return in about an hour, Sazed promised. He remained, however, as if waiting for something. You are dismissed, Vin said. Thank you, mistress, he said, bowing and withdrawing. Leaving her alone. Not alone, she thought. Kelsier's out there somewhere, watching in the night. The thought comforted her, though she wished she didn't feel the empty space beside her chair quite so keenly. Three more young men approached her for dances, but each one accepted her polite rejection. No others came after them. Word had probably gotten around that she wasn't interested in dancing. She memorized the names of the four men who had approached her. Kelsier would want to know them, and began to wait. Oddly, she soon found herself growing bored. The room was well ventilated, but she still felt hot beneath the layers of fabric. Her legs were especially bad since they had to deal with her ankle-long undergarments. The long sleeves didn't help either, though the silky material was soft against her skin. The dancing continued, and she watched with interest for a time. However, her attention soon turned to the obligators. Interestingly, they did seem to serve some sort of function at the party. Though they often stood apart from the groups of chatting nobility, occasionally they would join in. And every so often a group would pause and seek out an obligator, waving one over with a respectful gesture. Vin frowned, trying to decide what she was missing. Eventually, a group at a nearby table waved to a passing obligator. The table was too far away to hear unaided, but with tin... She reached inside to burn the metal, but then paused. Copper first, she thought, turning the metal on. She would have to grow accustomed to leaving it on almost all the time, so that she wouldn't expose herself. Her allomancy hidden, she burned tin. Immediately, the light in the room became blinding, and she had to close her eyes. The band's music became louder, and a dozen conversations around her turned from buzzes to audible voices. She had to try hard to focus on the one she was interested in, but the table was the one closest to her, so she eventually singled out the appropriate voices. "Swear that I'll share news of my engagement with him before anyone else," one of the people said. Vin opened her eyes a slit. It was one of the noblemen at the table. "Very well," said the obligator. "I witness and record this." The nobleman reached out a hand, and coins clinked. Vin extinguished her tin, opening her eyes all the way in time to see the obligator wandering away from the table, slipping something, likely the coins, into a pocket of his robes. Interesting, Vin thought. Unfortunately, the people at that table soon rose and went their separate ways, leaving Vin without anyone close enough to eavesdrop upon. Her boredom returned as she watched the obligator stroll across the room toward one of his companions. She began to tap on the table, idly watching the two obligators until she realized something. She recognized one of them. Not the one who had taken the money earlier, but his companion, an older man. Short and firm-featured, he stood with an imperious air. Even the other obligator seemed deferential to him. At first, Vin thought her familiarity came from her visit to the Canton of Finance with Cayman, and she felt a stab of panic. Then, however, she realized that this wasn't the same man. She'd seen him before, but not there. He was... "My father," she realized with stupefaction. Rhene had pointed him out once, when they had first come to Luthadel a year ago. He had been inspecting the workers at a local forge. Rhene had taken Vin, sneaking her in, insisting that she at least see her father once, though she still didn't understand why. She had memorized the face anyway. She resisted the urge to shrink down in her chair. There was no way the man would be able to recognize her. He didn't even know she existed. She forcibly turned her attention away from him, looking up at the windows instead. She couldn't get that good a look at them, however, because the pillars and overhang restricted her view. As she sat, she noticed something she hadn't seen before. A lofty inset balcony that ran just above the entire far wall. It was like a counterpart to the alcove beneath the windows, except it ran at the top of the wall, between the stained glass windows and the ceiling. She could see movement upon it, couples and singles strolling along, looking down upon the party below. Her instincts drew her toward the balcony, from where she could watch the party without being seen herself. It would also give her a wonderful view of the banners and the windows directly above her table, not to mention let her study the stonework without seeming to gawk. Sazed had told her to stay, but the more she sat, the more she found her eyes drawn toward the hidden balcony. She itched to stand up and move, to stretch her legs and perhaps air them out a bit. The presence of her father, oblivious of her or not, served only as another motivation for her to leave the main floor. "It isn't like anyone else is asking me to dance," she thought, "and I've done what Kelsier wanted. I've been seen by the nobility." She paused, then waved for a serving boy. He approached with alacrity. "Yes, Lady Renew." "How do I get up there?" Vin asked, pointing toward the balcony. "There are stairs just to the side of the orchestra, m'lady," the boy said. "Climb them to the top landing." Vin nodded her thanks. Then, determined, she stood and made her way to the front of the room. No one gave her passing more than a glance, and she walked with more confidence as she crossed the hallway to the stairwell. The stone corridor twisted upward, curling upon itself, its steps short but steep. Little stained glass windows, no wider than her hand, ran up the outside wall, though they were dark in color, lacking backlight. Vin climbed eagerly, working away her restless energy, but she soon began to puff from the weight of the dress and the difficulty of holding it up so that she didn't trip. A spark of burned pewter, however, made the climb effortless enough that she didn't sweat and ruin her makeup. The climb proved to be worth the effort. The upper balcony was dark, lit only by several small blue-glassed lanterns on the walls, and it gave an amazing view of the stained-glass windows. The area was quiet, and Vin felt practically alone as she approached the iron railing between two pillars, looking down. The stone tiles of the floor below formed a pattern she hadn't noticed, a kind of free-form curving of gray upon white. "Mists?" she wondered idly, leaning against the railing. It, like the lantern bracket behind her, was intricate and detailed. Both had been wrought in the form of thick, curving vines. To her sides, the tops of the pillars were carved into stone animals that appeared frozen in the motion of jumping off of the balcony. "Now see, here's the problem with going to refill your cup of wine." The sudden voice made Vin jump and she spun. A young man stood behind her. His suit wasn't the finest she had seen, nor was his vest as bright as most. Both coat and shirt seemed to fit too loosely, and his hair was just a bit disheveled. He carried a cup of wine, and the outer pocket of his suit coat bulged with the shape of a book that was just a bit too big for its confines. "The problem is," the young man said, "you return to find that your favorite spot has been stolen by a pretty girl. Now, a gentleman would move on to another place, leaving the lady to her contemplations. However, this is the best spot on the balcony. It's the only place close enough to a lantern to have good reading light." Vin flushed. "I'm sorry, my lord." "Ah, see, now I feel guilty. All for a cup of wine. Look, there's plenty of room for two people here. Just scoot over a bit. Vin paused. Could she politely refuse? He obviously wanted her to stay near him. Did he know who she was? Should she try to find out his name so she could tell Kelsier? She stepped a bit to the side, and the man took a place next to her. He leaned back against the side pillar and, surprisingly, took out his book and began to read. He was right. The lantern shined directly on the pages. Vin stood for a moment watching him, but he seemed completely absorbed. He didn't even pause to look up at her. "Isn't he going to pay me any attention at all?" Vin thought, puzzled at her own annoyance. "Maybe I should have worn a fancier dress." The man sipped at his wine, focused on the book. "Do you always read at balls?" she asked. The young man looked up. "Whenever I can get away with it." "Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of coming?" Vin asked. "Why attend if you're just going to avoid socializing?" "You're up here, too," he pointed out. Vin flushed. "I just wanted to get a brief view of the hall." "Oh? And why did you refuse all three men who asked you to dance?" Vin paused. The man smiled, then turned back to his book. "There were four," Vin said with a huff, "and I refused them because I don't know how to dance very well." The man lowered his book slightly, eyeing her. "You know, you're a lot less timid than you look." "Timid?" Vin asked. "I'm not the one staring at his book when there's a young lady standing by him, never having properly introduced himself." The man raised a speculative eyebrow. "Now see, you sound like my father. Far better looking, but just as grumpy." Vin glared at him. Finally, he rolled his eyes. "Very well, let me be a gentleman, then." He bowed to her with a refined, formal step. "I am Lord Elland. Lady Valette Renou, might I have the pleasure of sharing this balcony with you whilst I read?" Vin folded her arms. "Elland? Family name or given name? Should I even care? He just wanted his spot back. But how did he know that I'd refused dancing partners?" Somehow she had a suspicion that Kelsier would want to hear about this particular conversation. Oddly, she didn't feel a desire to shrug this man away as she had the others. Instead, she felt another stab of annoyance as he again raised his book. "You still haven't told me why you would rather read than participate," she said. The man sighed, lowering the book again. "Well, see, I'm not exactly the best dancer either." "Ah," Vin said. "But," he said, raising a finger, "that's only part of it. You may not realize this yet, but it's not that hard to get overpartied. Once you attend 500 or 600 of these balls, they start to feel a bit repetitive." Vin shrugged. "You'd probably learn to dance better if you practiced." Elland raised an eyebrow. "You're not going to let me get back to my book, are you?"
"I wasn't intending to."
He sighed, tucking the book back into his jacket pocket, which was beginning to show signs of book-shaped wear. "Well then, do you want to go and dance instead?" Vin froze. Elland smiled nonchalantly.
"Lord, he's either incredibly smooth or socially incompetent."
It was disturbing that she couldn't determine which. "That's a no, I assume," Elland said. "Good. I thought I should offer, since we've established that I'm a gentleman. However, I doubt the couples below would appreciate us trampling their toes."
"Agreed. What were you reading?"
"De la Steni," Elland said. "Trials of Monument. Heard of it?" Vin shook her head. "Ah, well, not many have." He leaned over the railing, looking below. "So, what do you think of your first experience at court?"
"It's very overwhelming," Elland chuckled.
"Say what you will about House Venture, they know how to throw a party." Vin nodded.
"You don't like House Venture, then?" she said.
Perhaps this was one of the rivalries Kelsier was watching for. "Not particularly, no," Elland said. They're an ostentatious lot, even for high nobility. They can't just have a party, they have to throw the best party. Never mind that they run their servants ragged setting it up, then beat the poor things in retribution when the hall isn't perfectly clean the very next morning.
Vin cocked her head. Not words I'd expect to hear from a nobleman.
Ellen paused, looking a little embarrassed. But, well, never mind that. I think your terraceman is looking for you.
Vin started, glancing over the side of the balcony.
Sure enough, Sazed's tall form stood by her now empty table, speaking to a serving boy.
Vin yelped quietly.
I've got to go, she said, turning toward the stairwell.
Ah, well then, Ellen said. Back to reading it is. He gave her a half wave of farewell, but he had his book open before she passed the first step.
Vin reached the bottom out of breath. Sazed saw her immediately.
I'm sorry, she said,
chagrined as she approached.
Do not apologize to me, mistress, Sazed said quietly. It is both unseemly and unnecessary. Moving about a bit was a good idea, I think. I would have suggested it had you not seemed so nervous.
Vin nodded.
Is it time for us to go, then? It is a proper time to withdraw, if you wish, he said, glancing up at the balcony. May I ask what you were doing up there, mistress?
I wanted to get a better look at the windows, Vin said. But I ended up talking to someone. He seemed interested in me at first, but now I don't think he ever intended to pay me much attention.
It doesn't matter. He didn't seem important enough to bother Kelsier with his name.
Sazed paused.
Who was it you were speaking to?
The man in the corner there, on the balcony, Vin said.
One of Lord Venture's friends?
Vin froze.
Is one of them named Elland?
Sazed paled visibly.
You were chatting with Lord Elland Venture?
Yes.
Did he ask you to dance?
Vin nodded.
But I don't think he meant it. Oh, dear, Sazed said. So much for controlled anonymity.
Venture? Vin asked, frowning.
Like, keep Venture? Heir to the house title, Sazed said.
Vin said, realizing that she should probably be a bit more intimidated than she felt.
He was a bit annoying, in a pleasant sort of way. We shouldn't be discussing this here, Sazed said. You're far, far below his station. Come, let us retire. I shouldn't have gone away to the dinner.
He trailed off, mumbling to himself as he led Vin to the entryway. She got one more glimpse into the main chamber as she retrieved her shawl, and she burned tin, squinting against the light and seeking the balcony above. He held the book, closed in one hand, and she could have sworn that he was looking down in her direction. She smiled and let Sazed usher her to their carriage.
I know that I shouldn't let a simple pack-man perturb me. However, he is from Terrace, where the prophecies originated. If anyone could spot a fraud, would it not be he? Nevertheless, I continue my trek, going where the scribbled auguries proclaim that I will meet my destiny, walking, feeling Rashik's eyes on my back, jealous, mocking, hating.
13. Vin sat with her legs crossed beneath her on one of Lord Renew's fine easy chairs. It felt good to be rid of the bulky dress, instead getting back to a more familiar shirt and trousers. However, Sazed's calm displeasure made her want to squirm. He stood on the other side of the room, and Vin got the distinct impression that she was in trouble. Sazed had questioned her in depth, seeking out every detail of her conversation with Lord Elland. Sazed's inquiries had been respectful, of course, but they had also been forceful. The terraceman seemed, in Vin's opinion, unduly worried about her exchange with the young nobleman. They hadn't really talked about anything important, and Elland himself was decidedly unspectacular for a great house lord. But there had been something odd about him, something Vin hadn't admitted to Sazed. She'd felt comfortable with Elland. Looking back on the experience, she realized that for those few moments, she hadn't really been Lady Valette. Nor had she been Vin, for that part of her, the timid crew member, was almost as fake as Valette was. No, she'd simply been whoever she was. It was a strange experience. She had occasionally felt the same way during her time with Kelsier and the others, but in a more limited manner. How had Elland been able to evoke her true self so quickly and so thoroughly? "Maybe he used allomancy on me," she thought with a start. Elland was a high nobleman. Perhaps he was a soother. Maybe there was more to the conversation than she had thought. Vin sat back in her chair, frowning to herself. She'd had copper on, and that meant he couldn't have used emotional allomancy on her. Somehow, he had simply gotten her to let her guard down. Vin thought back to the experience, thinking about how oddly comfortable she'd felt. In retrospect, it was clear that she hadn't been careful enough. "I'll be more cautious next time." She assumed that they would meet again. They'd better. A servant entered and whispered quietly to Sazed. A quick burn of tin let Vin hear the conversation. Kelsier had finally returned. "Please send word to Lord Renu," Sazed said. The white-clothed servant nodded, leaving the room with a quick step. "The rest of you may leave," Sazed said calmly, and the room's attendants scampered away. Sazed's quiet vigil had forced them to stand, waiting in the tense room, not speaking or moving. Kelsier and Lord Renu arrived together, chatting quietly. As always, Renu wore a rich suit, cut in the unfamiliar Western style. The aging man kept his gray mustache trimmed thin and neat, and he walked with a confident air. Even after spending an entire evening among the nobility, Vin was again struck by his aristocratic bearing. Kelsier still wore his mist cloak. "Sayes," he said as he entered, "you have news?"
"I am afraid so, Master Kelsier," Sazed said. "It appears that Mistress Vin caught the attention of Lord Elland Venture at the ball tonight."
"Elland?" Kelsier asked, folding his arms. "Isn't he the heir?"
"He is indeed," Renu said. "I met the lad perhaps 4 years ago when his father visited the West. He struck me as a bit undignified for one of his station."
4 years, Vin thought. There's no way he's been imitating Lord Renu for that long. Kelsier only escaped the pits 2 years ago.
She eyed the impostor, but, as always, was unable to detect a flaw in his bearing. "How attentive was the boy?" Kelsier asked.
"He asked her to dance," Sazed said, "but Mistress Vin was wise enough to decline. Apparently their meeting was a matter of idle happenstance, but I fear she may have caught his eye."
Kelsier chuckled. "You taught her too well, Sayes. In the future, Vin, perhaps you should try to be a little less charming."
"Why?" Vin asked, trying to mask her annoyance. "I thought we wanted me to be well-liked."
"Not by a man as important as Elland Venture, child," Lord Renu said. "We sent you to court so you could make alliances, not scandals."
Kelsier nodded.
"Venture is young, eligible, and heir to a powerful house. Your having a relationship with him could make serious problems for us. The women of the court would be jealous of you, and the older men would disapprove of the rank difference. You'd alienate yourself from large sections of the court. To get the information we need the aristocracy to see you as uncertain, unimportant, and, most importantly, unthreatening." "Besides, child," Lord Renew said, "it is unlikely that Elland Venture has any real interest in you. He is known to be a court eccentric. He is probably just trying to heighten his reputation by doing the unexpected."
Vin felt her face flush.
"He's probably right," she told herself sternly.
Still, she couldn't help feeling annoyed at the three of them, especially Kelsier, with his flippant, unconcerned attitude.
"Yes," Kelsier said. "It's probably best that you avoid Venture completely. Try to offend him or something. Give him a couple of those glares you do."
Vin regarded Kelsier with a flat look.
"That's the one," Kelsier said with a laugh.
Vin clenched her teeth, then forced herself to relax.
"I saw my father at the ball tonight," she said, hoping to distract Kelsier and the others away from Lord Venture.
"Really?"
Kelsier asked with interest. Vin nodded.
"I recognized him from a time my brother pointed him out to me."
"What is this?" Renu asked. "Vin's father is an obligator," Kelsier said, "and apparently an important one if he has enough pull to go to a ball like this. Do you know what his name is?"
Vin shook her head.
"Description?" Kelsier asked.
Bald? Eye tattoos?"
Kelsier chuckled.
"Just point him out to me sometime, all right?"
Vin nodded, and Kelsier turned to Sazed.
"Now, did you bring me the names of which nobleman asked Vin to dance?"
Sazed nodded.
"She gave me a list, Master Kelsier. I also have several interesting tidbits to share from the steward's meal."
"Good," Kelsier said, glancing at the grandfather clock in the corner. "You'll have to save them for tomorrow morning, though. I've got to be going."
"Going?"
Vin asked, perking up.
"But you just got in."
"That's the funny thing about arriving somewhere, Vin," he said with a wink. "Once you're there, the only thing you can really do is leave again. Get some sleep. You're looking a bit ragged."
Kelsier waved a farewell to the group, then ducked out of the room, whistling amiably to himself.
"Too nonchalant," Vin thought, "and too secretive. He usually tells us which families he plans to hit."
"I think I will retire,"
Vin said, yawning. Sazed eyed her suspiciously, but let her go as Renu began speaking quietly to him. Vin scrambled up the stairs to her room, threw on her mist cloak, and pushed open her balcony doors. Mist poured into the room. She flared iron and was rewarded with the sight of a fading blue metal line pointing into the distance.
"Let's see where you're going, Master Kelsier."
Vin burned steel, pushing herself into the cold, humid autumn night. Tin enhanced her eyes, making the wet air tickle her throat as she breathed. She pushed hard behind her, then pulled slightly on the gates below. The maneuver swung her into a soaring arc over the steel gates, which she then pushed against, to throw herself farther into the air. She kept an eye on the trail of blue that pointed toward Kelsier, following him at enough of a distance to remain unseen. She wasn't carrying any metal, not even coins, and she kept her copper burning to hide her use of allomancy. Theoretically, only sound could alert Kelsier of her presence, and so she moved as quietly as possible. Surprisingly, Kelsier didn't head into town. After passing the mansion's gates, he turned north out of the city. Vin followed, landing and running quietly on the rough ground.
"Where is he going?" she thought with confusion. "Is he circling Feliz? Heading for one of the peripheral mansions?"
Kelsier continued northward for a short time, then his metal line suddenly began to grow dim. Vin paused, stopping beside a group of stumpy trees. The line faded at a rapid rate. Kelsier had suddenly sped up. She cursed to herself, breaking into a dash. Ahead, Kelsier's line vanished into the night. Vin sighed, slowing. She flared her iron, but it was barely enough to catch a glimpse of him disappearing again in the distance. She'd never keep up. Her flared iron, however, showed her something else. She frowned, continuing forward until she reached a stationary source of metal. Two small bronze bars stuck into the ground a couple feet from each other. She flipped one up into her hand, then looked into the swirling mists to the north.
"He's jumping," she thought. "But why?"
Jumping was faster than walking, but there didn't seem much point to it in the empty wilderness.
Unless... She walked forward, and she soon found two more bronze bars embedded in the earth. Vin glanced backward. It was hard to tell in the night, but it seemed that the four bars made a line that pointed directly toward Luthadel. So that's how he does it, she thought. Kelsier had an uncanny ability to move between Luthadel and Feliz with remarkable speed. She'd assumed that he was using horses, but it appeared that there was a better way. He, or perhaps someone before him, had laid down an allomantic road between the two cities. She gripped the first bar in her palm, she'd need it to soften her landing if she was wrong, then stepped up in front of the second pair of bars and launched herself into the air. She pushed hard, flaring her steel, throwing herself as far up into the sky as she could. As she flew, she flared her iron, searching for other sources of metal. They soon appeared, two directly north and two more in the distance to either side of her. The ones on the sides are for course corrections, she realized. She'd have to keep moving directly north if she wanted to stay on the Bronze Highway. She nudged herself slightly to the left, moving so that she passed directly between the two adjacent bars of the main path, then hurled herself forward again in an arcing leap. She got the hang of it quickly, hopping from point to point, never dropping even close to the ground. In just a few minutes, she had the rhythm down so well that she barely had to do any corrections from the sides. Her progress across the scraggly landscape was incredibly swift. The mists blew by, her mist cloak whipping and flapping behind her. Still, she forced herself to speed up. She'd spent too long studying the bronze bars. She had to catch up to Kelsier. Otherwise, she'd arrive in Luthadel but not know where to go from there. She began to throw herself from point to point at an almost reckless speed, watching desperately for some sign of allomantic motion. After about 10 minutes of leaping, a line of blue finally appeared ahead of her, one pointing up rather than down toward bars in the ground. She breathed in relief. Then a second line appeared, and a third. Vin frowned, letting herself drop to the ground with a muted thump. She flared tin, and a massive shadow appeared in the night before her, its top sparkling with balls of light. The city wall, she thought with amazement. So soon? I made the trip twice as fast as a man on horseback. However, that meant she'd lost Kelsier. Frowning to herself, she used the bar she'd been carrying to throw herself up onto the battlements. Once she landed on the damp stone, she reached behind and pulled the bar up into her hand. Then she approached the other side of the wall, hopping up and crouching on the stone railing as she scanned the city. What now? She thought with annoyance. Head back to Feliz? Stop by Clubs's shop and see if he went there? She sat uncertainly for a moment, then threw herself off the wall and began making her way across the rooftops. She wandered randomly, pushing off of window clasps and bits of metal, using the bronze bar, then pulling it back into her hand when long jumps were necessary. It wasn't until she arrived that she realized she'd unconsciously gone to a specific destination. Keep Venture rose before her in the night. The limelights had been extinguished, and only a few phantom torches burned near guard posts. Vin crouched on the lip on a rooftop, trying to decide what had led her back to the massive keep. The cool wind ruffled her hair and cloak, and she thought she felt a few tiny raindrops on her cheek. She sat for a long moment, her toes growing cold. Then she noticed motion to her right. She crouched immediately, flaring her tin. Kelsier sat on a rooftop not 3 houses away, just barely lit by ambient light. He didn't seem to have noticed her. He was watching the keep, his face too distant for her to read his expression. Vin watched him with suspicious eyes. He'd dismissed her meeting with Elland, but perhaps it worried him more than he'd admitted. A sudden spike of fear made her tense. Could he be here to kill Elland? The assassination of a high noble heir would certainly create tension amongst the nobility.
Vin waited apprehensively. Eventually, however, Kelsier stood and walked away, pushing himself off the rooftop and into the air. Vin dropped her bronze bar, it would give her away, and dashed after him. Her iron showed blue lines moving in the distance, and she hurriedly jumped out over the street and pushed herself off a sewer grate below, determined not to lose him again. He moved toward the center of the city. Vin frowned, trying to guess his destination. Cape Ara Keller was in that direction, and it was a major supplier of armaments. Perhaps Kelsier planned to do something to interrupt its supplies, making House Renew more vital to the local nobility. Vin landed on a rooftop and paused, watching Kelsier shoot off into the night.
"He's moving fast again.
A hand fell on her shoulder. Vin yelped, jumping back, flaring pewter. Kelsier regarded her with a cocked eyebrow.
"You're supposed to be in bed, young lady."
Vin glanced to the side, toward the line of metal.
"But..."
"My coin pouch," Kelsier said, smiling. "A good thief can steal clever tricks as easily as he steals boxings. I've started being more careful since you tailed me last week. At first, I assumed you were a venture, Mistborn."
"They have some?"
"I'm sure they do," Kelsier said. "Most of the great houses do. But your friend Elland isn't one of them. He's not even a Misting."
"How do you know? He could be hiding it."
Kelsier shook his head.
"He nearly died in a raid a couple of years ago. If there were ever a time to show your powers, it would have been then."
Vin nodded, still looking down, not meeting Kelsier's eyes. He sighed, sitting down on the slanted rooftop, one leg hanging over the side.
"Have a seat."
Vin settled herself on the tile roof across from him. Above, the cool mists continued to churn, and it had begun to drizzle slightly. But that wasn't much different from the regular nightly humidity.
"I can't have you tailing me like this, Vin," Kelsier said. "Do you remember our discussion about trust?"
"If you trusted me, you'd tell me where you were going."
"Not necessarily," Kelsier said. "Maybe I just don't want you and the others to worry about me."
"Everything you do is dangerous," Vin said. "Why would we worry any more if you told us specifics?"
"Some tasks are even more dangerous than others," Kelsier said quietly.
Vin paused, then glanced to the side in the direction Kelsier had been going. Toward the center of the city. Toward Credic Shaw, the Hill of 1,000 Spires, the Lord Ruler's palace.
"You're going to confront the Lord Ruler," Vin said quietly. "You said last week that you were going to pay him a visit."
"Visit is perhaps too strong a word," Kelsier said. "I am going to the palace, but I sincerely hope I don't run into the Lord Ruler himself. I'm not ready for him yet. Regardless, you are going straight to Clubs's shop."
Vin nodded. Kelsier frowned.
"You're just going to try and follow me again, aren't you?"
Vin paused, then she nodded again.
"Why?"
"Because I want to help," Vin said quietly. "So far my part in this all is essentially boiled down to going to a party. But I'm Mistborn. You've trained me yourself. I'm not going to sit back and let everyone else do dangerous work while I sit, eat dinner, and watch people dance."
"What you're doing at those balls is important," Kelsier said.
Vin nodded, glancing down. She'd just let him go, then she'd follow him. Part of her reasoning was what she'd said before. She was beginning to feel a camaraderie for this crew, and it was like nothing she had ever known. She wanted to be part of what it was doing. She wanted to help. However, another part of her whispered that Kelsier wasn't telling her everything. He might trust her, he might not. However, he certainly had secrets. The 11th Medal, and therefore the Lord Ruler, were involved in those secrets. Kelsier caught her eyes, and he must have seen her intention to follow in them. He sighed, leaning back.
"I'm serious, Vin. You can't go with me,"
Why not? She asked, abandoning pretense. If what you're doing is so dangerous, wouldn't it be safer if you had another Mistborn watching your back?
You still don't know all of the metals, Kelsier said.
Only because you haven't taught me.
You need more practice.
The best practice is doing, Vin said. My brother trained me to steal by taking me on burglaries.
Kelsier shook his head. It's too dangerous.
Kelsier, she said in a serious tone, we're planning to overthrow the final empire. I don't really expect to live until the end of the year anyway.
You keep telling the others what an advantage it is to have two Mistborn on the team.
Well, it's not going to be much of an advantage unless you actually let me be a Mistborn.
How long are you going to wait?
Until I'm ready?
I don't think that will ever happen.
Kelsier eyed her for a moment, then he smiled.
When we first met, half the time I couldn't get you to say a word. Now you're lecturing me.
Vin blushed. Finally, Kelsier sighed, reaching beneath his cloak to pull something out.
I can't believe I'm considering this, he muttered, handing her the bit of metal. Vin studied the tiny, silvery ball of metal. It was so reflective and bright that it almost seemed to be a drop of liquid, yet it was solid to the touch.
Atium, Kelsier said. 10th and most powerful of the known allomantic metals. That bead is worth more than the entire bag of boxings I gave you before.
This little bit? She asked with surprise.
Kelsier nodded. Atium only comes from one place, the pits of Hath-Sin, where the Lord Ruler controls its production and distribution. The great houses get to buy a monthly stipend of Atium, which is one of the main ways the Lord Ruler controls them. Go ahead and swallow it.
Vin eyed the bit of metal, uncertain she wanted to waste something so valuable.
You can't sell it, Kelsier said. Thieving crews try, but they get tracked down and executed. The Lord Ruler is very protective of his Atium supply.
Vin nodded, then swallowed the metal. Immediately she felt a new well of power appear within her, waiting to be burned.
All right, Kelsier said, standing. Burn it as soon as I start walking.
Vin nodded. As he began to walk forward, she drew upon her new well of strength and burned Atium. Kelsier seemed to fuzz slightly to her eyes. Then a translucent, wraith-like image shot out into the mists in front of him.
The image looked just like Kelsier, and it walked just a few steps in front of him. A very faint trailing after-image extended from the duplicate back to Kelsier himself. It was like a reverse shadow. The duplicate did everything Kelsier did, except the image moved first. It turned, and then Kelsier followed its same path.
The image's mouth began moving. A second later, Kelsier spoke.
Atium lets you see just a bit into the future. Or at least it lets you see what people are going to do a little bit in the future. In addition, it enhances your mind, allowing you to deal with the new information, allowing you to react more quickly and collectedly. The shadow stopped, then Kelsier walked up to it, stopping as well. Suddenly the shadow reached out and slapped her, and Vin moved reflexively, putting her hand up just as Kelsier's real hand began to move. She caught his arm mid-swing.
While you're burning Atium, he said, nothing can surprise you. You can swing a dagger knowing confidently that your enemies will run right into it. You can dodge attacks with ease because you'll be able to see where every blow will fall. Atium makes you quite nearly invincible. It enhances your mind, making you able to make use of all the new information.
Suddenly, dozens of other images shot from Kelsier's body. Each one sprang in a different direction, some striding across the roof, others jumping into the air. Vin released his arm, rising and backing away in confusion.
I just burned Atium too, Kelsier said. I can see what you're going to do, and that changes what I'm going to do, which in turn changes what you're going to do. The images reflect each of the possible actions we might take.
It's confusing, Vin said, watching the insane jumble of images,
old ones constantly fading, new ones constantly appearing. Kelsier nodded. The only way to defeat someone who is burning Atium is to burn it yourself. That way, neither of you has an advantage. The images vanished.
What did you do?
Vin asked with a start. Nothing, Kelsier said. Your Atium probably ran out. Vin realized with surprise that he was right. The Atium was gone.
It burns so quickly.
Kelsier nodded, sitting down again. That's probably the fastest fortune you've ever blown, eh? Vin nodded, stunned.
It seems like such a waste.
Kelsier shrugged. Atium is only valuable because of allomancy. So if we didn't burn it, it wouldn't be worth the fortune that it is. Of course, if we do burn it, we make it even more rare. It's kind of an interesting relationship. Ask Ham about it sometimes. He loves talking about Atium economics. Anyway, any Mistborn you face will probably have Atium. However, they'll be reluctant to use it. In addition, they won't have swallowed it yet. Atium is fragile, and your digestive juices will ruin it in a matter of hours. So you have to walk a line between conservation and effectiveness. If it looks like your opponent is using Atium, then you'd better use yours, too. However, make sure he doesn't lure you into using up your reserve before he does. Vin nodded.
Does this mean you're taking me tonight?
I'll probably regret it, Kelsier said, sighing. But I don't see any way to make you stay behind, short of tying you up, perhaps. But I warn you, Vin, this could be dangerous. Very dangerous. I don't intend to meet the Lord Ruler, but I do intend to sneak into his stronghold. I think I know where we might find a clue on how to defeat him. Vin smiled, stepping forward as Kelsier waved her toward him. He reached into his pouch and pulled out a vial, which he handed to her. It was like regular allomantic vials, except the liquid inside held only a single drop of metal. The Atium bead was several times larger than the one he had given her to practice on. Don't use it unless you have to, Kelsier warned. You need any other metals? Vin nodded.
I burned up most of my steel getting here.
Kelsier handed her another vial. First, let's go retrieve my coin pouch. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going mad. Perhaps it is due to the pressure of knowing that I must somehow bear the burden of an entire world. Perhaps it is caused by the death I have seen, the friends I have lost, the friends I have been forced to kill. Either way, I sometimes see shadows following me, dark creatures that I don't understand nor wish to understand. Are they perhaps some figment of my overtaxed mind? 14. It started raining just after they located the coin pouch. It wasn't a hard rain, but it seemed to clear the mist slightly. Vin shivered, pulling up her hood, crouching beside Kelsier on a rooftop. He didn't pay the weather much heed, so neither did she. A little dampness wouldn't hurt. In fact, it would probably help, as the rainfall would cover the sounds of their approach. Creedic Shaw lay before them. The peaked spires and sheer towers rose like dark talons in the night. They varied greatly in thickness. Some were wide enough to house stairwells and large rooms, but others were simply thin rods of steel jutting up into the sky. The variety gave the mass a twisted, off-center symmetry, an almost balance. The spikes and towers had a foreboding cast in the damp, misty night, like the ash-blackened bones of a long-weathered carcass. Looking at them, Vin thought she felt something. A depression, as if simply being close to the building was enough to suck away her hope.
Our target is a tunnel complex at the base of one of the far-right spires, Kelsier said, his voice barely carrying over the quiet hush of the falling rain. We're heading for a room at the very center of that complex.
What's inside?
I don't know, Kelsier said. That's what we're going to find out. Once every 3 days,
and today isn't one of them, the Lord Ruler visits this chamber. He stays for 3 hours, then leaves. I tried to get in once before, 3 years ago.
The job, Vin whispered. The one that...
Got me captured, Kelsier said with a nod. Yes. At the time, we thought that the Lord Ruler stored riches in the room. I don't think that's true now, but I'm still curious. The way he visits is so regular, so... odd. Something's in that room, Vin. Something important. Maybe it holds the secret to his power and immortality.
Why do we need to worry about that? Vin asked. You have the 11th medal to defeat him, right?
Kelsier frowned slightly. Vin waited for an answer, but he didn't ever give one. I failed to get in last time, Vin, he said instead. We got close, but we got there too easily. When we arrived, there were inquisitors outside the room, waiting for us.
Someone told them you were coming?
Kelsier nodded. We planned that job for months. We were overconfident, but we had reason to be. Mare and I were the best. The job should have gone flawlessly. Kelsier paused, then he turned to Vin. Tonight I didn't plan at all. We're just going in. We'll quiet anyone who tries to stop us, then break into that room. Vin sat quietly, feeling the chill rainwater on her wet hands and damp arms. Then she nodded. Kelsier smiled slightly. No objections? Vin shook her head.
I made you take me with you.
It's not my place to object now. Kelsier chuckled. Guess I've been hanging out with Breeze too long. I just don't feel right unless someone tells me I'm crazy. Vin shrugged. However, as she moved on the rooftop, she felt it again. The sense of depression coming from Creedic Shaw.
There is something, Kelsier, she said. The palace feels... wrong, somehow.
That's the Lord Ruler, Kelsier said. He radiates like an incredibly powerful soother, smothering the emotions of everyone who gets close to him. Turn on your copper. That will make you immune. Vin nodded, burning copper. Immediately the sensation went away. Good? Kelsier asked. She nodded again. All right, then, he said, giving her a handful of coins. Stay close to me and keep your ATM handy, just in case. With that, he threw himself off the roof. Vin followed, her cloak tassels spraying rainwater. She burned pewter as she fell and hit the ground with alimantically strengthened legs. Kelsier took off at a dash, and she followed. Her speed on the wet cobblestones would have been reckless, but her pewter-fueled muscles reacted with precision, strength, and balance. She ran in the wet, misty night, burning tin and copper, one to let her see, the other to let her hide. Kelsier rounded the palace complex. Oddly, the grounds had no outer wall.
Of course they don't. Who would dare attack the Lord Ruler?
Flat space, covered in cobblestones, was all that surrounded the Hill of 1,000 spires. No tree, foliage, or structure stood to distract one's eye from the disturbing asymmetric collection of wings, towers, and spires that was Creedic Shaw.
Here we go, Kelsier whispered, his voice carrying to her tin-enhanced ears.
He turned, dashing directly toward a squat, bunker-like section of the palace. As they approached, Vin saw a pair of guards standing by an ornate, gate-like door. Kelsier was on the men in a flash, cutting one down with slashing knives. The second man tried to cry out, but Kelsier jumped, slamming both feet into the man's chest. Thrown to the side by the inhumanly strong kick, the guard crashed into the wall, then slumped to the ground. Kelsier was on his feet a second later, slamming his weight against the door and pushing it open. Weak lantern light spilled out of a stone corridor within. Kelsier ducked through the door. Vin dimmed her tin, then followed in a crouching dash, her heart pounding. Never, in all her time as a thief, had she done something like this. Hers had been a life of sneaky burgling and scamming, not raids or muggings. As she followed Kelsier down the corridor, their feet in cloaks leaving a wet trail on the smooth stonework, she nervously pulled out a glass dagger, gripping the leather-wrapped handle in a sweaty palm. A man stepped into the hallway just ahead, exiting what appeared to be some sort of guard chamber. Kelsier jumped forward and elbowed the soldier in the stomach, then slammed him against the wall. Even as the guard collapsed, Kelsier ducked into the room. Vin followed, stepping into chaos. Kelsier pulled a metal candelabrum from the corner up into his hands, then began to spin with it, striking down soldier after soldier. Guards cried out, scrambling and grabbing staves from the side of the room. A table covered in half-eaten meals was thrown to the side as men tried to make room. A soldier turned toward Vin, and she reacted without thinking. She burned steel and threw out a handful of coins. She pushed, and the missiles shot forward, tearing through the guard's flesh and dropping him. She burned iron, pulling the coins back to her hand. She turned with a bloodied fist, spraying the room with metal, dropping three soldiers. Kelsier felled the last with his impromptu staff. "I just killed four men," Vin thought, stunned. Before, Reen had always done the killing. There was rustling behind. Vin spun to see another squadron of soldiers enter through a door opposite her. To the side, Kelsier dropped his candelabrum and stepped forward. The room's four lanterns suddenly ripped from their mountings, slamming directly toward him. He ducked to the side, letting the lanterns crash together. The room fell dark. Vin burned tin, her eyes adapting to the light from the corridor outside. The guards, however, stumbled to a halt. Kelsier was amidst them a second later, daggers flashing in the darkness, men screaming. Then all was silent. Vin stood surrounded by death, bloodied coins dribbling from her stunned fingers. She kept a tight grip on her dagger, however, if only to steady her quivering arm. Kelsier lay a hand on her shoulder and she jumped. "These were evil men, Vin," he said. "Every Ska knows in his heart that it is the greatest of crimes to take up arms in defense of the Final Empire." Vin nodded numbly. She felt wrong. Maybe it was the death, but now that she was actually within the building, she swore that she could still feel the Lord Ruler's power. Something seemed to push her emotions, making her more depressed, despite her copper. "Come. Time is short." Kelsier took off again, hopping lithely over corpses, and Vin felt herself following. "I made him bring me," she thought. "I wanted to fight like him. I'm going to have to get used to this." They dashed into a second corridor, and Kelsier jumped into the air. He lurched, then shot forward. Vin did the same, leaping and seeking an anchor far down the corridor, then using it to pull herself through the air. Side corridors whipped past, the air a rushing howl in her tin-enhanced ears. Ahead, two soldiers stepped into the corridor. Kelsier slammed feet first into one, then flipped up and rammed a dagger into the other's neck. Both men fell. "No metal," Vin thought, dropping to the ground. "None of the guards in this place wear metal." Haze killers, they were called. Men trained to fight allomancers. Kelsier ducked down a side corridor, and Vin had to sprint to keep up with him. She flared pewter, willing her legs to move faster. Ahead, Kelsier paused, and Vin lurched to a stop beside him. To their right was an open, arching doorway, and it shone with a light far brighter than that of the small corridor lanterns. Vin extinguished her tin, following Kelsier through the archway and into the room. Six braziers burned with open flames at the corners of the large, dome-roofed chamber. In contrast to the simple corridors, this room was covered with silver-inlaid murals. Each obviously represented the Lord Ruler. They were like the windows she had seen earlier, except less abstract. She saw a mountain, a large cavern, a pool of light, and something very dark. Kelsier strode forward and Vin turned. The center of the room was dominated by a small structure, a building within the building. Ornate, with carved stone and flowing patterns, the single-story building stood reverently before them. All in all, the quiet, empty chamber gave Vin a strange feeling of solemnity. Kelsier walked forward, bare feet falling on smooth black marble. Vin followed in a nervous crouch. The room seemed empty, but there had to be other guards. Kelsier walked up to a large oaken door set into the inner building, its surface carved with letterings Vin didn't recognize. He reached out and pulled open the door. A steel inquisitor stood inside. The creature smiled, his lips curling in an eerie expression beneath the two massive spikes that had been pounded point-first through its eyes. Kelsier paused for just a moment. Then he yelled,
"Vin! Run!"
as the Inquisitor's hand snapped forward, grabbing him by the throat. Vin froze. To the sides, she saw two other black-robed Inquisitors stride through open archways. Tall, lean, and bald, they were also marked by their spikes and intricate ministry eye tattoos. The closest Inquisitor lifted Kelsier up into the air by his neck.
"Kelsier, the survivor of Hathsin," the creature said in a grinding voice. Then he turned toward Vin. "And you. I've been looking for you. I'll let this one die quickly if you'll tell me which nobleman spawned you, half-breed."
Kelsier coughed, struggling for breath as he pried at the creature's grip. The Inquisitor turned, regarding Kelsier with spike-end eyes. Kelsier coughed again, as if trying to say something, and the Inquisitor curiously pulled Kelsier a bit closer. Kelsier's hand whipped out, ramming a dagger into the creature's neck. As the Inquisitor stumbled, Kelsier slammed his fist into the creature's forearm, shattering the bone with a snap. The Inquisitor dropped him, and Kelsier fell to the reflective marble floor, coughing. Gasping for breath, Kelsier looked up at Vin with intense eyes.
"I said run," he croaked, tossing something to her.
Vin paused, reaching out to catch the coin pouch. However, it lurched suddenly in the air, shooting forward. Abruptly, she realized Kelsier wasn't throwing it to her, but at her. The bag hit her in the chest. Pushed by Kelsier's allomancy, it hurled her across the room, past the two surprised Inquisitors, until she finally dropped awkwardly to the floor, skidding on the marble. Vin looked up, slightly dazed. In the distance, Kelsier regained his feet. The main Inquisitor, however, didn't seem very concerned about the dagger in his neck. The other two Inquisitors stood between her and Kelsier. One turned toward her, and Vin felt chilled by its horrifying, unnatural gaze.
"Run!"
The word echoed in the domed chamber, and this time, finally, it struck home. Vin scrambled to her feet, fear shocking her, screaming at her, making her move. She dashed toward the nearest archway, uncertain if it was the one she had come in through. She clutched Kelsier's coin pouch and burned iron, frantically seeking an anchor down the corridor. Must get away. She grabbed the first bit of metal she saw and yanked, tearing herself off the ground. She shot down the corridor at an uncontrolled speed, terror flaring her iron. She lurched suddenly, and everything spun. She hit the ground at an awkward angle, her head slamming against the rough stone, then lay dizzily, wondering what had happened. The coin pouch. Someone had pulled on it, using its metal to yank her backward. Vin rolled over and saw a dark form shooting down the corridor. The Inquisitor's robes fluttered as he dropped lightly to his feet a short distance from Vin. He strode forward, his face impassive. Vin flared tin and pewter, clearing her mind and pushing away the pain. She whipped out a few coins, pushing them at the Inquisitor. He raised a hand, and both coins froze in the air. Vin's own push suddenly threw her backward, and she tumbled across the stones, skidding and sliding. She heard the coins pling against the floor as she came to a rest. She shook her head, a dozen new bruises flaring angrily across her body. The Inquisitor stepped over the discarded coins, walking toward her with a smooth gait.
"I have to get away."
Even Kelsier had been afraid to face an Inquisitor. If he couldn't fight one, what chance did she have? None. She dropped the pouch and jumped to her feet, then she ran, ducking through the first doorway she saw. The room beyond was empty of people, but a golden altar stood at its center. Between the altar, the four candelabra at the corners, and the cluttering of other religious paraphernalia, the space was cramped. Vin turned,
pulling a candelabrum into her hands, remembering Kelsier's trick from before. The Inquisitor stepped into the room, then raised an almost amused hand, ripping the candelabra from her hands in an easy allomantic pull.
"He's so strong," Vin thought with horror.
He was probably steadying himself by pulling against the lantern brackets behind. However, the force of his iron pulls was far more powerful than Kelsier's had ever been. Vin jumped, pulling herself slightly up and over the altar. At the doorway, the Inquisitor reached over to a bowl that sat atop a short pillar, pulling out what appeared to be a handful of small metal triangles. They were sharp on all sides, and they cut the creature's hand in a dozen places. He ignored the wounds, raising a bloody hand toward her. Vin yelped, ducking behind the altar as pieces of metal sprayed against the back wall.
"You're trapped," the Inquisitor said in a scratchy voice. "Come with me."
Vin glanced to the side. There weren't any other doors in the room. She peeked up, glancing at the Inquisitor, and a piece of metal shot at her face. She pushed against it, but the Inquisitor was too strong. She had to duck and let the metal go, lest his power pin her back against the wall.
"I'll need something to block with, something that isn't made of metal."
As she heard the Inquisitor step into the room, she found what she needed, a large, leather-bound book sitting beside the altar. She grabbed it, then paused. There was no use in being rich if she died. She pulled out Kelsier's vial and downed the atium, then burned it. The Inquisitor's shadow stepped around the side of the altar, then the actual Inquisitor followed a second later. The atium shadow opened its hand, and a spray of tiny translucent daggers shot at her. Vin raised her book as the real daggers followed. She swung the book through the shadowy trails just as the real daggers shot toward her. She caught every one, their sharp jagged edges digging deeply into the book's leather cover. The Inquisitor paused, and she was rewarded by what seemed to be a look of confusion on its twisted face. Then 100 shadow images shot from his body.
"Lord Ruler," Vin thought.
He had atium too. Not pausing to worry about what that meant, Vin hopped over the altar, carrying the book with her as protection against further missiles. The Inquisitor spun, spike eyes following her as she ducked back into the hallway. A squad of soldiers stood waiting for her. However, each one bore a future shadow. Vin ducked between them, barely watching where their weapons would fall, somehow avoiding the attacks of 12 different men. And for a moment she almost forgot the pain and fear, and they were replaced by an incredible sense of power. She dodged effortlessly, staves swinging above and beside her, each one missing by just inches. She was invincible. She spun through the ranks of the men, not bothering to kill or hurt them. She only wanted to escape. As she passed the last one, she turned around a corner. A second Inquisitor, his body springing with shadow images, stepped up and slammed something sharp into her lower side. Vin gasped in pain. There was a sickening sound as the creature pulled his weapon free of her body. It was a length of wood affixed with sharp obsidian blades. Vin grasped her side, stumbling backward, feeling a terrifying amount of warm blood seeping from the wound. The Inquisitor looked familiar.
"The first one, from the other room," she thought through the pain. "Does that mean that Kelsier is dead?"
"Who is your father?" the Inquisitor asked.
Vin kept her hand at her side, trying to stop the blood. It was a large wound, a bad wound. She had seen such wounds before. They always killed. Yet she still stood.
Pewter, her confused mind thought. Flare Pewter.
She did so, the metal giving her body strength, letting her stay on her feet. The soldiers stepped back to let the second Inquisitor approach her from the side. Vin looked in horror from one Inquisitor to the other, both descending upon her, blood pouring between her fingers and down her side. The lead Inquisitor still carried the axe-like weapon, its edge coated with blood. Her blood.
"I'm going to die," she thought with terror.
And then she heard it. Rain. It was faint, but her tin ears picked it out behind her. She spun, lurching through a door, and was rewarded by the sight of a large archway on the other side of the room. Mist pooled at the room's floor, and rain slapped the stones outside.
Must have been where the guards came from, she thought. She kept her pewter flared, amazed at how well her body still worked, and stumbled out into the rain, reflexively clutching the leather book to her chest.
You think to escape?
The lead inquisitor asked from behind, his voice amused. Numbly, Vin reached into the sky and pulled against one of the palace's many spires. She heard the inquisitor curse as she pitched into the air, hurling up into the dark night. The thousand spires rose around her. She pulled against one, then switched to another. The rain was strong now, and it made the night black. There was no mist to reflect ambient light, and the stars were hidden by clouds above. Vin couldn't see where she was going. She had to use allomancy to sense the metallic tips of the spires, and hope there was nothing in between. She hit a spire, catching hold of it in the night and pulling to a stop.
Have to bandage the wound, she thought weakly.
She was beginning to grow numb, her head cloudy despite her pewter and tin. Something slammed against the spire above her and she heard a low growl. Vin pushed off even as she felt the Inquisitor slash the air beside her. She had one chance. Mid-jump, she pulled herself sideways toward a different spire. At the same time she pushed against the book in her hands, it still had bits of metal embedded into its cover. The book continued in the direction she had been going, metal lines glowing weakly in the night. It was the only metal she had on her. Vin caught the next spire lightly, trying to make as little sound as possible. She strained in the night, burning tin, the rainfall becoming a thunder in her ears. Over it, she thought she heard the distinct sound of something hitting a spire in the direction she had pushed the book. The Inquisitor had fallen for her ruse. Vin sighed, hanging from the spire, rain splattering her body. She made sure her copper was still burning, pulled lightly against the spire to hold herself in place, and ripped off a piece of her shirt to bandage the wound. Despite her numb mind, she couldn't help noticing how big the gash was.
Oh, Lord, she thought.
Without pewter, she would have fallen unconscious long ago. She should be dead.